Hi there. Welcome to this week's sermon wrap. Today I covered Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 23. Paul returns to a second round of his argument about a believer's freedom from sin. First, he poses the question if God's grace abounds more than our sin. If this is so, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? His answer is clear, no, because we are dead to sin and alive to righteousness in Christ. Now he hits it from a slightly different angle. He asks basically the same question. If we aren't bound by the law, but rather living in grace, can't we just continue in sinful lives? His answer, as we will see, is clear. Again, no, may it never be. But he gives the reasoning slightly different. True salvation results in a transfer of kingdom and a transfer of lordship and a transfer of loyalty, and it's evidenced on the outside. So true change on the inside is evidenced on the outside. So verse 16, he asks the question, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? So if you have a life which is patterned by habitual unrepentant sin, then you're evidencing yourself to be a slave to sin. And if you're evidencing yourself to be a slave to sin, then the common logical question would be, then are you actually saved and freed from sin? He says, on the other hand, the only other option would be obedience resulting in righteousness. So when one understands that salvation change is not just your destination, but also your conduct, the inside change is evidenced by a desire to obey righteousness. In summary, if this above wrong attitude describes you, then you are not showing a mindset of one who is freed by salvation. Verse 17, I love it. He says, but thanks be to God. It is not you. Thanks be to God Almighty. Thanks be to our Savior. And thanks be to the Spirit who has sealed us until the day of redemption. Though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. So though we were once slaves to sin, incapable of saving ourselves, incapable of doing anything other than sin, living completely for ourselves instead of by faith and glorifying God, God graciously reached down and he turned us to him. We placed our faith in Jesus, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the foundation upon which the church is built. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And having been freed from sin, we became slaves of righteousness. Verse 18. I want to say two quick things about what these are not and what they are. We became free from the bondage of sin. What it doesn't mean is that we don't sin anymore, or that we one day will reach a level of spiritual maturity where we don't sin anymore. What it does mean is that we no longer need to sin. We're no longer in bondage to sin. And becoming slaves of righteousness, it doesn't mean that we constantly and only do that which is right. What it does mean is that internally we are changed by the work of God and given an unrelenting desire to obey the Lord because we love him, because he first loved us. When King Saul is addressed about his sin of not obeying the Lord to destroy all the Amalekites and Agag, he shifts the blame, he makes excuses, and he lies about it. But when King David is addressed for his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah, he repents, and he cries out to the Lord for forgiveness, and he turns away from his sin, and that is evidence of that. That would be evidence of a new heart, in that sense, that the attitude towards our sin. It doesn't mean that we never choose wrong. It means that when we do, we have a desire to follow after the Lord and repent of our sin. It says in verse 19, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. So they're still here on earth and struggling, because even though they have a new spiritual nature on the inside, they still live in human flesh. And this creates the greatest battle we will ever fight, our sin against our new man and a desire to please the Lord. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. So there's this idea of you just continue on in your sin and it gets worse and worse, but as you trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you begin presenting your members as slaves to righteousness, the fruit of this, or the result, is sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. He's been driving the point home that salvation cannot be accomplished through adherence to the law. He then says those who are not born again by grace are free or separate, disconnected to righteousness, and that these people seeking to accomplish their salvation by the law are completely separate and disconnected from it in the first place because they're flawed. They're fundamentally flawed. They're sinful. And they ought to be ashamed of their sin because the outcome of this sin is death. But now, verse 22, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, which you derive your fruit or benefit from resulting in sanctification, and the outcome is eternal life. Kind of circles around and is pointing out, if you are being sanctified, it means internal, on the outside, internally you've been sanctified, you are saved, and you ought to be encouraged by that fruit in your life, and of course at the end it will prove to be true salvation, which is eternal life. And he sums it up, the pinnacle of the argument: the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The result of sin is one thing and one thing alone, death. But in contrast to this, the free, meaning without cost, unmerited, undeserved, gift, simply something that you receive from who? Of God. What is this gift? Eternal life, found in who? Christ, the Messiah, our Lord, Jesus. He is the one who saves. Justification comes by faith. And if you have been justified by faith, that means you've been made alive spiritually. It means that you've been transferred from being enslaved to sin to now a slave of righteousness. So your salvation is not simply a ticket to heaven. It's freedom from sin, an ability now by faith to live a life that's pleasing to God, separate from sin. No, we won't be perfect. That's why we continue to repent and turn to Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, and have a great day. I hope this helps.